On the 28th of April 2007, the McCann family, consisting of Kate and Jerry and her twin siblings Emily and Sam, left their home in Rothley, Leicestershire. They started their week-long holiday in Praia da Luz, a resort located in the Algarve region of Portugal. On the night Madeline was taken, her parents had decided that leaving her and her siblings in the provided babysitting service would cause them stress. They left the children asleep in the apartment whilst they were out dining with fellow tourists, less than 100 metres away from where they slept. Hi, I'm Bronte, and throughout this podcast I'll be exploring different conspiracy theories around the disappearance or so-called abduction of 3-year-old Madeline McCann in Portugal. This case has not been solved and there is many different viewpoints on the situation without anybody knowing exactly what has happened to her. There has been over 140 sightings of the girl without any proving factual. Episode 1, The Events of May 3rd. At approximately 8 p.m. in the evening of the sixth day spent at Praia da Luz, the McCann parents left their three sleeping children in their room. In order to attend a restaurant roughly located 50 metres away from apartment 5A where the family was staying. Kate had previously reserved a table for every night during their stay, closest to the apartments, making it easy to check on the children of all the parents. Kate had written in the restaurant's notebook, reserving the table, and because the notebook wasn't monitored, it was easily available to the public, so someone could have read this and would have easily been able to discover that the children would be sleeping in their rooms alone. The McCann couple were the first to appear at the Tapas restaurant at 8:35 p.m, awaiting a group of seven others. These seven people would be the main suspects in the kidnapping. The group of seven eventually arrived at the restaurant and began to order starters. Shortly after the others arrived at the restaurant, Jerry McCann began the first check on their sleeping children at 9:05 p.m. He enters the apartment through the unlocked patio doors at the front of the building. When he enters the apartment, he notices that the children's door is slightly more open than how it was left, but he didn't think much of this at the time. All three of his children are fast asleep in their beds. He shuts the doors, leaving it open slightly. Before he returns to the group, he uses the bathroom and returns to the others at the restaurant, leaving out the unlocked patio doors. In a quote made by Kate McCann's mother, Susan Healy, defending their decision to leave their children to sleep alone, she says, "They felt their children were safe. They were maybe lulled into a false sense of security." Jerry stops on his way back to the restaurant and speaks to friends on the opposite side of the road to the apartment. He remains talking to his friends for several minutes, and at 9:10 p.m. Jane Tanner, a member of the group dining at the Tapas restaurant, is returning from checking her children. She noticed a man that is walking quickly across the top of the road ahead of her, walking in the opposite direction of the apartments, carrying a sleeping girl in his arms. At this time, she thinks nothing of this because it isn't an unusual sight to see at a resort. She heads back to join the group at the restaurant. At 9:30 p.m., one member of the group offers to check on the McCann children as well as their own. As he enters the apartment and approaches the children's room, he notices that the children's door has been left wide open. He pays no attention to this. He peeps into the bedroom and sees the twins sleeping in the cot. But when later questioned, he recalls that he couldn't see Madeline's bed from the angle he was standing in to check on the twins. At 10 p.m, Kate checks the children and is suddenly cautious when the children's door slams in front of her when she tries to enter the room. When she opens the door, she notices that the window has been left completely open. She closes the window and then notices her eldest daughter Madeline isn't in her bed where she was left. She runs back to the others to inform them that she appears to be taken or missing. The group leave the restaurant and begin searching the McCann's apartment for any sign of her, which would later prove that because of this, it destroyed any possible evidence that the kidnapper could have left behind. The local police are called at 10:15 p.m. and they arrive at 10:30 p.m. The detectives arrive at 11:10 p.m. A search for the three-year-old is started immediately, involving locals and fellow tourists. This search is carried out till 4 a.m. until the physical search for Madeline is called off because the detectives leave the resort. Widespread searches for the girl are carried out all over the island, with posters and magazine articles being published daily. The search for Madeline proves to be difficult as there is little to no evidence and there is no way to know exactly what has happened to her. In September of 2007, both parents of Madeline McCann were named as Arguidos by the Portuguese police. An Arguido is a person kept for questioning who is not a formal suspect. This happened because detectives investigating the disappearance of the child believed the parents were behind the supposed death of the four-year-old in their holiday apartment. They believed the body of the girl was hidden and that the parents returned to the location 1 month later to hide the body in a place in which it would never be found. The police who were investigating repeated to ask Kate McCann the same questions every time she was interviewed. They offered Kate McCann a deal of a 2-year jail period if she would confess to the killing of her daughter and revealed where the body was disposed of. This was brought on because of the discovery of blood in the car the McCanns hired 4 weeks after Madeline's disappearance. During the period in which both of the parents were under suspicion of foul play, Jerry McCann described the investigation as ludicrous. The police spent 5 hours questioning Kate about her involvement. She was warned by her lawyer, Carlos Pinto Diabro, to be prepared for the fact that she might be charged and arrested for the murder of her daughter. A spokesperson of the family named Justine McGuinness said, "They believe that they have evidence to show that in some way she's involved in the death of her daughter, which is, of course, completely ludicrous. They have suggested that blood has been found in a hire car that they hired 25 days after Madeline was taken. How on earth could you hide a body for that long? We are in a hot climate. When this was put to Kate, she was taken very aback. It was the first time she had heard the allegation and she actually swore at police." Because of the statement made by Justine, it helped to raise further questions about the Madeline McCann case. Police had speculated that Mrs. McCann had accidentally provided the child with an overdose of sleeping medicine on the night she was reported missing. Throughout an intensive 11-hour interview with the Portuguese police, she admitted giving Calpol a sleeping aid to the children. She further argued that it was needed to help them sleep without waking throughout their stay, since they would be dining at the restaurant every night. One of the main reasons why Kate was named as a suspect is because she made a phone call to, at the time, Police Inspector Ricardo Pavia, in tears describing a nightmare she had about her daughter. In the dream, she described Madeline being lost on a hill overlooking Praia da Luz. At the time of the phone call, Pavia was the family's liaison officer, which meant the couple and him became very close, even having dinner with the officer from time to time, helping the officer to build a relationship with the family. He provided police with information about his phone call with Kate, and the investigation was then faced at her, providing the case with a so-called turning point. During the phone call, Kate expressed fear that her daughter was on top of a hill in the area and begged him to recruit others to search for her there. Ricardo provided information to his former boss, Goncalo Amaral, the main investigator leading the case. Years after he was pulled off the case and forced into early retirement, Amaral wrote a best-selling book titled Maddie, The Truth of the Lie. Within this book, he accused the parents of killing their daughter by accident and faking her abduction as a cover-up. Because of this book release, the McCanns sued Amaral for libel, and during a court case in January 2010, Ricardo Pavia discussed the phone call he had with Madeline's mother. He said that Kate had called him crying whilst her husband Jerry was away, talking about having a dream, and gave the impression she thought her daughter was dead. And at this point, it provided us with a turning point in the case. He added that because of this call, the decision was made to bring in sniffer dogs from the UK to search the family's apartment and vehicle that was used during the period of her disappearance. The dogs detected the scent of blood in the apartment and a human body in the McCann's hire vehicle. Pavia also added that the family had disobeyed the police's request to keep quiet about the details of their daughter's disappearance while the investigation was underway. He proclaimed that the family had turned the investigation into a media frenzy, giving the police reason to raise more suspicion about the parents. He also had the opinion that Kate and Jerry should have been charged with neglect for leaving the children alone in their apartment in a foreign country, because it was proven that people have been arrested for way less than that, and even in the UK. Throughout the whole investigation, there has been a total of $12 million spent on the case, including thousands of sightings of the girl, with none of these sightings providing insight on the investigation. Kate and Jerry support the theory that their daughter was taken by a local criminal. This idea is popularised after many apartments in the area had been robbed weeks prior to the girl's disappearance. In 2011, Kate published a book called Madeline, Our Daughter's Disappearance and the Continuing Search for Her. Throughout this book, she writes about people's attempts to gain a profit by writing about Madeline's disappearance, claiming to reveal what really happened to her. A segment taken from Kate's book reads, "These accounts are extraordinary, considering the only person that knows this is the person who abducted her on May 3rd, 2007. As well as, many of these authors have no first-hand knowledge of the case and have based their theories on half-truths, speculation and full-blown lies on the internet. In March 2019, a controversial Netflix documentary about the disappearance of Madeline McCann was released to provide more information on the 12-year-old missing children's case. Both Kate and Jerry both do not see how this Netflix documentary will bring their daughter home, and it will help to fuel people's ideas that they had something to do with the disappearance of their daughter. During the 12-year investigation, there has been several suspects in the case. Each suspect was formulated by so-called witnesses who have claimed to see Madeline with this person on the night she was abducted from her bed. The first sighting was by one of the Tappers Seven, Jane Tanner. This was an important part of the early investigation, providing police with someone to search for. She claimed to see this man on her way back from checking her own daughter. She also claimed she saw Jerry McCann in her travels back to the restaurant, but when questioned by police, the two men couldn't recall seeing her. This puzzled the Portuguese police because streets in the resort were very narrow, making it inevitable to run into someone on the other side of the road. She claimed the man was walking east, away from the apartment 5A, moving toward the home of Robert Murat, which was the case's first ever suspect. Robert Murat was proven innocent of any involvement in the case. She described the child in the man's arm as wearing light-coloured pink pyjamas with floral pattern. These were apparently similar to Madeline's. She described the man as white, dark-haired, 5'7" tall, of South European or Mediterranean appearance, 35 to 40 years old, wearing gold or beige trousers and a dark jacket. She said he did not look like a tourist. In October 2013, a British holidaymaker had been identified as the man Jane had seen. The man was returning from the Ocean Club night crash. Lead detectives on the case were almost certain that her sighting was not related to the abduction. The second sighting was from Martin and Mary Smith. They saw a man about 460 metres from the McCann's apartment, walking away from the Ocean Club and towards the beach. He was seen carrying a girl aged between 3 to 4 years old with blonde, pale skin and wearing light-coloured pyjamas and bare feet. The The man was in his mid-30s, approximately 5'7" to 5'9", slim to normal build with short brown hair, wearing cream or beige trousers. He did not look like a tourist. According to the Smiths, he had seemed uncomfortable carrying the child that was supposedly Madeline. A quote from the case made by Chief Inspector Oligaro Sosis when he speaks to reporters. He says, "I can't imagine what they are experiencing, probably pain without measure. I want to assure them that the professionals are doing the best that they can." In conclusion to the disappearance of Madeline Ruth McCann, from my research and along with others, it is uncertain what actually happened to the young girl. Was she taken? Was she murdered? Did Kate and Jerry have something to do with it? Did she leave the room and get lost? Or was she buried on top of a hill, never to be discovered again? To this very day, this case remains unsolved and there is no exact information about what happened to her. The parents of the child are still continuing their hunt for the girl in hope that she will one day return home to tell her story.